When is the last time you looked over your pocket change? Celeste does every time she counts up the noisy collection for us. My husband always checks and saves wheat pennies. Sometimes, though, a coin is worth more than the value printed on it. For instance, they are no longer in circulation, but mercury dimes, especially a 1916D, can be worth a few hundred dollars. A Buffalo nickel is also valued at more than 100. And then there was the Wisconsin State Quarter of 2004. Remember when the 50 state quarters debuted? A whole collection of them here. Yeah, that's fun, isn't it? We really were anxious to get change. Every 10 weeks, a new coin was issued, starting in 1999. And in October 24, 2004, Wisconsin's coin was issued. The coin featured a cow and a wheel of cheese and an ear of corn. Seems very fitting for Wisconsin, right? The corn was bursting forth from the husks. Some of the leaves were peeled back, but there were a few early pressings that ended up with an extra leaf on that ear of corn from what the original rendering called for. Now, once upon a time, such coins were categorized as FIDOs, was the term. Freaks, irregulars, defectives, and oddities. They were undesirable from a collector's standpoint. Then, sometime in the 1960s, collecting error coins gained in popularity. So, in 2004, if you were one of those lucky enough to find a Wisconsin quarter with an extra leaf in the image, you held a coin that was worth far more than its face value. The image on the coin, whether correct or marred, helps to determine what it is worth. The image on the coin is what Jesus points to when posed an impossible question by the Pharisees and the Herodians. And first, let me point out that we should all be shocked that the Pharisees and the Herodians together asked Jesus a question. It's a little like saying the Senate Majority Leader and the House Speaker together asked a court nominee a question. These two groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians, do not get along. The Herodians represent the interests of King Herod, the tetrarch of the region around Jerusalem. Herod is Jewish, but his appointment is a political one. And Herod likes his power and his notoriety and his lavish palace and his comfortable lifestyle. The Herodians would like to hold on to this power, so they tend often to side with the Romans in political matters, even if they wish the Romans were not the occupying force in the region. The Pharisees, who are also Jewish, would like to see autonomy for the Jews, and so they mostly resent and reject Rome's rule over them instead of siding with them. But I'm sure you've heard that politics makes strange bedfellows. So this question, this plot to trap Jesus, stems from selfish motives. The Herodians and the Pharisees are fearful that Jesus will upset the balance of their system. They might not like the Roman occupation, but they have made peace with their place in Roman society. They have their spheres of influence, they know what to expect, they like to protect the status quo, and they view Jesus as a threat. And so, out of fear, or perhaps out of jealousy, these two groups come together in an effort to trap Jesus with the query, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Now, providing an answer seems like it's going to be a no-win for Jesus. If he says yes, he could be perceived as colluding with the Romans and its subjugation and occupation of Jewish homeland. If he says no, he could be suspected of supporting a rebellion against Rome. Darn if you do, darn if you don't. And Jesus finds a third option. Whose image is on the coin, he asks. Caesar's, they replied. Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Nicely handled, Jesus. Well done. Except maybe his answer is subversive in a subtle way. After all, does anything truly belong to Caesar? created. Every animal in the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. God imagined and God breathed and God brought forth every living creature and every inanimate object, every star and moon and sun and planet, all things, everything is covered in God's fingerprints, including you and me. Made in the image of God, we are the coins of God's realm. That's the image Jesus bears, the image the Pharisees and the Herodians find so threatening. With no priestly lineage, no formal education or training, Jesus seeks God. He forgives sins, he breaks rules, he welcomes the outsiders, he gives the poor and disenfranchised hope. The Pharisees might consider themselves religious insiders who work hard to prove themselves righteous, but their efforts don't inspire multitudes. The Herodians might claim to work within the political system, but their connections don't serve the poor. The image of God in them has become lost, buried under the trappings of power and wealth and self-importance. There was so much good they could have done if they had recognized the image of God in Jesus, if they had sought the image of God in themselves. So back to that question for our children's time. Do you see the image of God in you? Maybe you think, as coins of God's realm go, you're not worth very much. Maybe when you look in the mirror, you don't see and the love, maybe you only see the brokenness. We all know it's there. When we examine our images, we are flawed, we have made mistakes, we have been hurt, we've been broken. We are Fidos. We are the freaks, the irregulars, the defectives, the oddities. There is nothing perfect about us. But God reminds us the Fidos are worth more than face value. When God forgives our mistakes and heals our hurts and comforts us in our brokenness, beauty shines through. The wrinkles and the scars tell the stories of how we got to where we are now. The stories our spirits love to hear. The underdog who overcomes. The phoenix who rises from the ashes. The rainbow in the sky after the storm. Kim Salico's photos of the clouds over Colorado, the beauty of a red and orange sunset above a fire-ravaged plain, bearing the promises that tomorrow the sun will rise, tomorrow strength will be renewed, tomorrow will be a better day. They tell of resilience, of deep-seated peace, of irrepressible joy, of beauty from ashes. Give to God what is God's. All that you have, all that you are, all the wealth and power and position and privilege you have been blessed with. Bear the image of God into the world. Use what you have on behalf of the needy, the disenfranchised, the hurting, because that is the beauty a world in pain desperately needs to see and to believe in. Right now. Amen.